Welcome to Management Diaries, MHN's property management podcast, where we dive into the intricacies of property management, from resident relations and maintenance to leasing and industry trends. I'm your host, Danielle Doyle. In this episode, I chat with Miguel Gutierrez, Chief Operating Officer at CAPREIT, about how value-add upgrades and services can elevate the resident experience while also boosting owner ROI. Hi, Miguel. Welcome to Management Diaries. Thanks for being here with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Nice to meet you, Danielle.
Miguel, today we're talking about choosing the right add-ons, upgrades, and services that add value to the resident experience and potentially improve ROI as well. Why don't we start off with what areas take priority as you're thinking about these enhancements that are going to add value?
Sure. As a chief operating officer, when I look at value add enhancements, the resident is front and center. Combating obsolescence and operating efficiency also are things to consider. But ultimately, it's about the resident experience. You know, we aim to deliver a home that is beautiful, functional, pleasing to the residents. And that beauty part really speaks for itself, whether we're talking about upgraded flooring, lighting, paint colors, countertops. These things are done to create an attractive space. But if you look beyond the unit, however, we want the resident to experience an aesthetically pleasing environment from the moment they arrive at the community. So things like, you know, nice signage, landscaping improvements are also important. And then, of course, making the community areas such as the pools, the outdoor lounges, clubhouses attractive. Those really add to the resident experience as well, because it provides them several venues to entertain their family and friends. They're not only confined to the space of their apartment. I'm a big believer in nice fitness centers. So updating fitness centers is another priority to help enhance the experience, giving them a variety of great equipment and space for wellness activities. And I'd say with value-added enhancements, we also look at conveniences for residents, such as, say, smart home technology or something like a pet wash station. I know washing my dog is a backbreaker because I don't have a convenient pet wash station at my house. So that's something, if I was a resident of one of our communities, I'd really appreciate that.
Sounds like you need to move into one of your communities, Miguel.
I've been tempted to.
People do appreciate that, I'm sure, yeah. With pets.
And especially now when the spring is coming and there's a lot of lawn work and yard work to do.
Yes, and more dog walks, right?
That's right. I was bargaining with my dog the other day. It was freezing, and I told him he had to wait another day for me to take him on a long walk because we were expecting the weather to be 70 degrees. So poor dog, he had to suffer through it.
Oh, no. Did you make him postpone his walk?
Well, he had a shorter walk when it was cold. When it's warm, he enjoys a longer walk.
Right. He really gets to walk. You mentioned a few really key things, particularly like making properties and units aesthetically pleasing and just some of the spaces that you really want to cover when you're thinking about what is going to add value, whether those are entertaining spaces, health and wellness spaces, in-unit spaces, outdoor. Making many of the upgrades and add-ons you mentioned requires an investment because, of course, you're thinking about long-term value, right? What factors should you consider when choosing specific add-ons or services?
Well, knowing your market is key. So knowing who you're competing with and what are you competing with the next class up. For example, if you have a B property, you'll want to know what the B plus and A minus products in the market are like, because you can bring a B up to an A minus asset, but only through knowing your market and the demographics will you know what upgrades and add-ons to implement. And you must also stay abreast of the trends and select color palettes, materials, and such that are not only current, but can hopefully stand the test of time. Knowing resident preferences informs us on amenities too that should be added to the community. And tell you about a recent example. We have a community in downtown Nashville, and it's an older community, but really unique and great views, really a wonderful property. And it's four different buildings, all built in different eras. Two of the buildings are historic in nature and two are more modern. And they share this big courtyard, which was underutilized. And so we just finished a massive renovation project there. And, you know, knowing what that market is, we did things like we introduced a stage in the courtyard. And now some of our residents are local musicians, and they actually performed at a party we hosted. And so that was like a really appropriate use of the space, I thought, for the market it's in. That's just one example of many. Actually, another example there, there's a Sky Lounge, and that was redone beautifully, and it's called the Dolly Room in honor of Dolly Parton. It comes with a beautiful portrait of her too. So it's really relevant to that marketplace.
Okay, that's really important, the Dolly Room in Nashville. And who doesn't love Dolly Parton? That might be the only reason for someone moving in, or the main reason for them moving in. Forget floor plans or fitness centers. It's all about the Dolly Lounge. That would be heaven.
Yeah, and an added benefit of that Dolly Lounge is that it's up on the top of the building with a terrace. And from there, you can look into Nissan Stadium. And if there's a concert happening, you can even hear the music.
Very cool. You get to enjoy the concert without ever leaving your building. I love that you mentioned staying abreast of trends, but not only focusing on those current trends, but also thinking about what's going to stand the test of time. Because that is kind of an important balance to take into consideration. And also knowing residents, knowing what their preferences would be. And, you know, especially as you were talking about your Nashville property, thinking about the music scene there and how that would appeal to residents. So I'm hearing that that is, you know, really important to think about. Let's talk about sustainability improvements now. What are some ways operators can integrate these to support a better resident experience and also to increase ROI over time?
Yeah, several property improvements and addition of services can have a favorable impact on sustainability with an enhancement to ROI. And some of the obvious improvements, the industry has been doing them for decades in the form of things like water and energy conservation features. Think of LED lighting, Energy Star appliances, low flow shower heads, aerators, toilets. All of those types of improvements we've been doing for a long time, decades. And these improvements continue to help manage the utility costs for both owners and residents. I'd say more recently in the area of conservation, leak detecting technology has added to these efforts and helps to reduce utility costs. One other area that's been an area of focus in terms of sustainability more recently is trash management and doorstep trash pickup, for example, is not only a convenience to the residents, but also helps in better managing the recycling at the community. Waste haulers will add surcharges for contamination of recyclable items. So for example, if someone throws a regular trash bag in the recycle bin, that's considered contamination. There's surcharges associated with that. But with the help of a Valley Trash Service, this is often minimized since they're picking up the trash at the residents' doors and then putting them in the correct receptacles. Additionally, there's the ability to put sensors on dumpsters, which can help right-size the frequency of trash pickup, reducing unnecessary hauls and the emissions associated with that. And then another area of value add that I think has an impact to sustainability is in smart home technology. And it also provides a favorable ROI. It could help reduce energy and water consumption. So these features provide a great convenience to the residents because they can manage access to their homes and their thermostats. But it also provides significant opportunities for owners and managers, one of which is the leak sensors I mentioned earlier. So if the leak sensors are installed, then manager can get alerted if one of them's triggered. But also there's efficiency benefits of not having to manage keys and the man hours associated with that.
So there are a lot of benefits to enhancing those areas of operation. So going back to your example with the trash pickup upgrades that you talked about, I did not know about the surcharges associated with contaminating recycling.
And yes, can you believe that?
I mean, I get it because I'm not someone who takes recycling lightly. So kudos to the waste haulers for being super on top of it. If you're paying the surcharge, you're paying that cost. And then how do you go about trying to track down who's the person that put the trash bag in the plastic bin, right?
That's right.
Definitely, I could see that being something that could, you know, become costly. And it sounds like that feature, you know, really can help cut down on that and if not eliminate it. So definitely something that's going to be good for ROI.
Yes.
As you're implementing these services, what are some of the challenges then that you're facing when you're attempting to add these to your property?
Great question. Well, the upgrades or the enhancements may make a lot of sense and provide for a good ROI. At times, there might not be a capital available to fund them. So budgeting requires careful balancing, as you know, and there are always items that cannot wait. An optional upgrade or add-on, while beneficial, can often wait. So the capital question is one that is sometimes a challenge. But sometimes there's vendors that can get paid as savings are realized, therefore eliminating the need for upfront capital expenditures. For example, we work with a provider for doing some water efficiency programs where they'll install low flow shower heads and low water usage toilets and aerators. And they have a program where they can get paid over time as the savings are realized. So that is a program that's pretty attractive because it doesn't require any upfront capital expenditure. And the savings start pretty much right away. Also, I'd say one of the other challenges is picking the right vendor or provider. And property managers run the risk that a vendor or provider they selected may not deliver as promised or may not be around for the long haul. So you know, checking references is important. Having strong vendor agreements and credentialing your vendors are important tasks to take. Say also customer preferences may change over time. So your investment in a certain style may become dated prematurely. I know a lot of people invested in pickleball over the last few years, and then now there's, in some places, there's been a revolt to pickleball because of the noise. So something like that could be a problem. Personally, I like pickleball, and I'm trying to get a pickleball installed at our vacation condo, but we'll see if I'm successful. And then I say one of the bigger challenges is in integration. But to the extent there's technology involved in something you're doing, integrating with our property management software is really critical. So integration between two systems, however, from different companies, that often has its challenges. So careful consideration, testing is important before implementing an upgrade or an add-on. Because the last thing you want to do is put in something great and it's not integrated well, so it becomes really inefficient to manage.
I hope that you're successful in getting your pickleball court at your vacation condo, and also just learned that there's a revolt against pickleball. I did not know that that was suddenly not as popular. I love pickleball.
I think so too, but it's, I don't know, maybe the revolt is too strong a word. I know in Vero Beach, Florida, they voted it off the island. They didn't allow it at the tennis center there on the island, so it had to go on to the mainland.
Oh, no, that's no fun. You made a few really good points about the challenges that can come up, particularly, you know, as you were talking about that integration between, you know, sometimes with these upgrades, how you have to integrate different products or an old system with a new system. And also with changing customer preferences, like the pickleball example. And then, you know, all these things kind of do go back to the resident experience, you know, not having any wrinkles in that or any hiccups in that. So these are challenges that really you do have to plan for and think about, especially because you don't want to frustrate your residents to where they feel like you didn't prepare them for a change or for an upgrade that you're planning. And then that prompts them to leave an unfavorable review or just to have some other type of negative response. Can you talk about, I guess, the relationship when it comes to putting profits and ROI first while also prioritizing residents? Which comes first and how do they coexist?
Yeah, as you know, property enhancements are going to require capital. Capital requires a return on investment. So the investment made must provide value such that residents are willing to pay for the enhancements. So putting residents' needs and desires first is paramount to determining where to enhance the property and services. Make the residents happy and that kind of greases the wheels along the way.
Grease the wheels. But you're right. Making sure you keep things running smoothly, that is the right idea. Because you can't bring in these new services, new systems without thinking about residents.
Right.
Apart from additions that we've been talking about, can maintenance or improvement projects, can those also support a positive resident experience? And could you give us an example?
Oh, absolutely. So a great example is an aging system. You know, aging systems often require more frequent repairs and maintenance. System overhauls or replacements will not only minimize the cost and time of ongoing repairs, but will also improve the resident experience by minimizing potential disruptions. So think of an example where you're having an HVAC system that's down. That's a huge inconvenience for a resident. And if it's happening with any kind of frequency, that does not make for a great resident experience. So the replacement of an aged system would avoid such a situation. So not only would you save on maintenance calls, but you would also likely increase the probability of renewing a lease with that resident. You would also lessen the possibility of an inconvenienced resident posting a negative online review, which in turn helps maintain a positive online presence. A positive online presence then helps you lease more. The whole circle of things happens. And some of these impacts are hard to quantify, but suffice to say, we take resident service and satisfaction very, very seriously.
You should take that seriously, right? It's definitely a big part of the business. Can you give us an example of an upgrade, whether it was something physical or a service that you implemented at one of your communities, and talk about the impact it had on your residents?
Sure. CAPRI implemented smart home technology at an existing community, and this involved replacing the locks, thermostats, and providing residents with a platform where they can control all of this from anywhere at any time, utilizing their cell phones. And residents can also program or adjust their thermostats remotely. They can provide temporary access to their apartments to guests or service providers, such as a dog walk or cleaning crew. And also they can avoid costly lockouts. So, you know, if they get locked out in the middle of the night, they're often instructed to call a locksmith, and that comes with a cost. But with the smart home technology, that goes away. And the system also provides great benefits in terms of protecting our assets and making operations more efficient. So I had mentioned before the leak sensors. So those added to the units will send alerts to residents and maintenance teams. And if a leak is detected, someone can get to it quickly. And so avoiding damage of a flood. And with these systems, there's no more rekeying of the units or managing keys. We have been able to eliminate the key tracking systems at the communities where this has been implemented. And then there's the integration with the property management software means that the access to the unit is automatically provisioned upon move-in, and then it's restricted right at move-out. So having the smart apartment allows us to also facilitate self-guided tours and engage with our centralized leasing team. And these all provide opportunities for cost savings for the community. So it's been really a success story there. The residents have enjoyed having the added amenity, and we've enjoyed the efficiencies that it's brought as well.
You know, you mentioned lockouts and calling a locksmith, which requires expenditure, you know, so you're really eliminating that. And then also you're protecting the communities. It really does go back to ROI, like, you know, all of these features and all of these upgrades, the elimination of rekeying, which is normally something that, you know, you might have your maintenance team has to go and do manually, right, and to manage keys. And you're able to eliminate that with, you know, with smart home technology. So really appreciate you just breaking that down for us.
One thing I forgot to mention as well that I didn't want to overlook this, but it also allows for a schedule of the thermostat. So once a unit goes vacant, someone moves out, it's automatically programmed to set the temperature at an ideal setting so that you're not overcooling or overheating the unit while it's vacant. And so that saves on utility costs.
Also very important. And, you know, basically the savings in all these areas, that does add up, right, across the board. So really can see that benefits. I love asking my guests to share a valuable lesson or something important that they've learned along their career. So I'd love if you could share something.
Yeah, one of the biggest lessons I learned in my career came as a result of a very costly oversight. And this happened over a decade ago at the height of the housing crisis. I was working on an important project to help save the housing industry. And the potential cost of this oversight was $26 million. So needless to say, I was a little stressed out about that.
Just a little, right?
Yeah. Ultimately, my team and I were able to successfully navigate the situation and avoid the loss. And furthermore, the program we were working on provided much relief to people who faced the loss of their homes, and benefits to those who own the mortgages on those homes. And so I learned several things through the situation. One of the main things I learned was don't lose sight of the importance of the work we do. This particular project made significant contributions to help the nation recover from the housing crisis and helped many families during a time of uncertainty. So, you know, keeping that in mind, it was, you know, really helpful to be clear-headed and try to navigate the situation. And then the other thing that I learned was to remain calm under pressure. So, you know, $26 million loss is a significant problem. But we were able to put our heads down, have cool heads about it, and then purposely take steps to try to mitigate that. And we successfully did mitigate it. And then the other thing was a lesson in transparency. From the onset, I brought the issue up the chain of command and kept them well informed along the ways of successes and the hiccups. And I think that was really valuable in the people involved, having confidence in my ability to, you know, take care of the situation, do the right things. So I'd say those were the three of the bigger lessons I learned through a potentially catastrophic situation.
Thank you, Miguel, for sharing that. I would say that $26 million, I would think that definitely falls under being a costly mistake. Hats off to you for being clear-headed and trying to remain calm under pressure.
Yeah.
But you know, as you said, another important part of that lesson is being transparent, right? And to do the right thing. I think that's really great advice.
Yeah. And I will mention the kind of the conclusion to that story. So these homes, as a result of this program we put in place, we held the homes for a longer period of time. And that was part of the design to keep people in homes rather than, do a foreclosure and fire sell the home. So we were able to hold those homes through kind of a period of distress and then sell them in a more favorable market. So we not only avoided the costly mistake, we also avoided the loss we would have faced if we didn't have this program, and then be able to sell the homes at a much better result later on. So it was a success story all around.
Yes, a success story with a positive ending. Thank you so much, Miguel, for chatting with me. And this has been a great conversation.
It was my pleasure, Daniil, and it's so nice to meet you.
Likewise. Great meeting you. That's all for this episode of Management Diaries. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again. Remember to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Have you heard about our MHN Executive Council? Each month, leading multifamily experts weigh in on relevant and trending topics, and we'd love to include your insights. To join, please visit multihousingnews.com or email jessica.fear@cpe-mhn.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so please let us know what you think with a quick rating.